is Kratos? I know, he's the protagonist of the God of War games, but who was he originally? Where did this now iconic character come from? Is he A, an original character developed by brilliant artists, storytellers, and game designers? B, a violent deity from ancient Greek myth who personified strength and used that strength to punish anything that got in his way? Or C, all of the above? If you answered C, you're correct. But now you might be wondering, how can both of these things be true at once?
How do you know of me?
That is actually a tricky question to answer, so let's delve deeper into the mythology of Kratos and the creation of Kratos. I can already tell this is going to be confusing, so I'll lay it out as simply as possible. Part 1: The Ghost of Sparta. Basically, when Santa Monica Studios began developing the hero for their new bloody beat-em-up set in ancient Greece, they wanted a character like no one had ever seen before. One who emanated power, rage, strength, and allowed the player to live out their bloodiest, most violent fantasies. Emphasis on fantasies. Since the game took place in the world of myth, it wasn't restrained by the rules of reality, and so the scale of its story, levels, and enemies was turned all the way to 11. And they needed a character to match that energy. Their unnamed protagonist went through a number of interesting and unique designs during his development. Visual artist Charlie Wen was given the following adjectives to work with: brutal, nasty, violent, antisocial, angry, fuck you. This led to a wide variety of designs. Concept art shows Kratos covered in armor from head to toe, with long, flowing hair, and even with a little companion like a dog or a baby on his back. But ultimately, none of these were found to be very suitable for their vision. The artists found as they stripped their hero of excessive design elements, the more raw and animalistic he felt. But they couldn't make him a plain Jane either, so they gave him a tattoo, a scar over his eye, some facial hair, and the angriest expression you could possibly imagine. I mean, seriously, I've never seen someone in real life look as angry as Kratos does. Of course, I don't know anyone who was tricked by the gods into killing their family, so that's probably why. After his design and story were fleshed out, this character needed a name, and considering the quest he was about to embark on, which entailed not only killing the most feared mythological monstrosities, but also a literal god, they settled on the ancient Greek word for his most defining characteristic, Kratos, which translates to strength. What's funny about this is that the developers didn't realize that Kratos was also the name of the god who personified strength. And while his story is very different than game Kratos's, there is some overlap that you wouldn't expect. Before we dive into that though, I want to clarify two things. One, this is the messed up origins of Kratos, not the messed up origins of God of War. And what I mean by that is I won't be diving into every single myth that's referenced throughout the 6 games that are set in Greece and the 2 games that are set in the Nordic lands, because that would take hours. Also, I've talked about the Norse games a ton in my Norse mythology series, so if you want to learn more about the myths that inspired those, check out that playlist. If you guys want, I can do the origins of the individual games in standalone episodes, but today we're focusing on the Kratos character and comparing him to the Greek god of the same name. The other thing I want to mention is that because Kratos is such a minor character in myth, there is very little art of him, so I partnered with the incredible character artist Sarah Rodriguez to bring his story to life, and that partnership was made possible by today's sponsor, Squarespace. Websites are infinitely useful tools for making money and marketing your business, and while building a website used to be a complicated endeavor you had to hire a professional for, Squarespace has completely changed the game. They give you all the tools you need to design a beautiful website easily and affordably, no matter how new to web design you are. To start, they give you a huge selection of award-winning templates to choose from, and thanks to their Fluid engine, you don't have to do any coding. Just drag and drop wherever you please. Whether you need a way to schedule reservations and appointments, show off your art portfolio, or treat your followers to exclusive content, you can make it happen with Squarespace. They also give you access to marketing tools and analytics you can capitalize on trends and check your website's performance. And on the rare occasion you run into a problem, their customer support team is available 24/7 to fix it fast. So if you want to take your small business, side hustle, or passion project to the next level, go to squarespace.com/johnsolo to start a complete completely free trial. And when your site is ready for launch, use code JohnSolo to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Part 2. Kratos and Myth. When the director of God of War 3, Stig Asbjørnsen, was discussing how the game's Kratos shared his name with the Greek god, he called the coincidence a happy mistake, because both Kratoses act as pawns for the Olympians. Throughout the game's Greek era, we see Kratos acting out the will of Ares, Athena, Zeus, and more. Now granted, in his case, his end goal is his own personal gain. He's not doing these guys favors just because he loves them so much.
I have faithfully served the gods for 10 years. When will you relieve me of these nightmares?
But more often than not, the gods are manipulating him, leading him around like a donkey following a carrot on a stick.
We never promised to take away your nightmares. No man, no god could ever forget the terrible deeds you have done.
Now, Kratos in myth is not nearly as tragic a figure, but he is a servant of Zeus and fully aware of it, openly discussing this fact in the most well-known story he appears in. The oldest written mention of Kratos we found is in the Theogony, written by Hesiod around 7th century BCE, and it's very brief. He's only mentioned in passing in a list of his siblings where we get a short biography of his family. Honestly though, I think this is one of the cooler side stories in Greek mythology that nobody really talks about. You see, at the start of the Titanomachy, the 10-year war between the Titans and Olympians for control over the cosmos, Zeus called forward all of the Titans who had been doing their own thing while Uranus and Kronos were in control. He said that any Titan who joined him in the war against Kronos would get to keep control of their domain, and any who didn't have a domain would be given one. As an added incentive, he even offered them season tickets to their domain's WNBA games, but for some reason, no one took him up on that. When the Titan Oceanos, who personified the earth-encircling river of the same name, heard this announcement, he reached out to his daughter Styx, the goddess of hatred and the underworld river that Charon ferried souls across. He advised Styx to take Zeus up on his offer. She had just had 4 children with Pallas, the Titan god of Warcraft, and it was in their family's best interest to get on Zeus's good side. Sidebar, I think it would have made perfect sense for the game's Kratos to also be the son of Styx and Pallas, considering their domains are Hatred and Warcraft. It doesn't get any more on the nose than that, but the developers chose to make him the son of Zeus and a woman named Callisto, who was very loosely inspired by the Callisto from myth. Depending on which version of her story you read, Callisto was seduced by Zeus, and either he turns her into a bear to hide her from Hera, or Artemis transforms her as a punishment for violating her vow of chastity. The Callisto in-game doesn't turn into a bear per se, but rather a hideous beast that makes bear noises. Now, Kratos does have some interactions with Styx in the game, but they're limited to him just swimming through her waters. And technically, I think she's just a river in the game's universe and not a goddess. Anyway, back to the myth. Styx wasted no time acting on her father's advice. She packed up her children, Nike, Victory, Bia, Force, Zelius, Glory, and Kratos, Strength, brought them to Olympus, and swore her allegiance to Zeus, the true king of the cosmos. And Zeus was so grateful for her immediate support that he made it rain rewards on her. Not only did he create a law that all sacred oaths must be sworn in her name, he allowed she and her children to live in his house on Olympus, a detail I find kind of adorable. Just imagine being one of those kids and finding out you get to move out of the underworld and into Zeus's house. I'm not trying to flex, but I can kind of relate to it because I grew up in the middle of a cornfield on the outskirts of civilization, but through some family friend connections, I got to meet Jim Carrey a few times and even stay at his house for a weekend. Yes, I'm equating Jim Carrey to a Greek god. And no, I don't think that's overreaching. Also to clarify, I have no connections with Jim now. I haven't seen him in almost 15 years and doubt I ever will again, which is a fact I'm still trying to cope with. But hey, don't cry because it's over, right? smile, cause it happened. Anyway, with Kratos and his siblings being raised in close proximity to Zeus, they took on important roles in his retinue. I mean, you can imagine how beneficial it was for him to have strength, force, glory, and victory on his side during the war, but even after it ended, some believe he kept them close to him. In Plato's Protagoras, he describes Prometheus stealing fire from mankind and mentions that he avoided entering Zeus's citadel because, quote, "The guards of Zeus are terrible," and while he doesn't list the guards by name, some experts theorize he's referring to Kratos and Bia. Not everyone agrees with this, but I believe the theory stems from Kratos and Bia's roles in a play called Prometheus Bound by Aeschylus, where they enforce Zeus's divine orders. In the play's opening scene, Kratos, Bia, and Hephaestus, the god of craftsmanship, are taking Prometheus to a remote location in the mountains where he'll be chained to a rock and have his liver devoured by an eagle, daily. This was to be his punishment for stealing fire for mankind, something that Hephaestus didn't think warranted such a cruel fate, and he made his thoughts known to the group. Hephaestus laments over the suffering Prometheus will be enduring, mentioning how sharp the rock is and how cold it is up in the mountains, and Kratos berates him for his sympathy, saying that feeling all of this pity and guilt is a pointless waste of time if he's just going to follow Zeus's orders anyway. He says, "You fear the wrath of Zeus more than you fear the consequences of following his orders," and to "stop wasting your labor at an unprofitable task," which is a line I can absolutely imagine the game's Kratos saying. As you can see, Myth Kratos' story may not have a lot in common with the game. I mean, in some cases, they're complete opposites. Like here we have Kratos encouraging the punishment of Prometheus, meanwhile in the game, he actually frees Prometheus. Granted, he kills him in the process, but that's what Prometheus wanted. However, as characters, they have similar attitudes and behave similarly. They both enforce the Law of Olympus, although the game's Kratos eventually turns against them, and neither of them waste their time lamenting over fates they can't change. Some of you might argue that's all game Kratos does, because throughout the entirety of the Greek era, he's constantly talking about his past mistakes and regrets and the cruel life the fates have spun for him.
By the gods, what have I become?
But he is not just pointlessly whining about wanting to change the past. He simply wants his sins forgiven and for his guilt to go away, and is actively working toward achieving those goals.
"And if I am able to do this, to kill a god, then the visions, they will end?"
Then, when he realizes this isn't possible, he burns Olympus to the ground. Back to the myth, after Kratos bullies Hephaestus into doing what needs to be done, he gives him instructions to bind Prometheus in the most painful way possible. First, by nailing Prometheus' hands to the rock, then by driving a steel wedge through his chest, and finally by chaining his legs with unbreakable adamant to immobilize him. After this, all the characters exit the stage except Kratos, who mocks the Titan, saying he's unworthy of his name. Part 3, Tragic Heroes. While Kratos bears a loose resemblance to the god of the same name, his story has more in common with the tragic heroes of myth, like Heracles and Oedipus. Heroes who were on a path toward greatness, but made a life-changing mistake that left a permanent stain on their soul. For Oedipus, that was killing his father and marrying his mother. Icarus flew too close to the sun and melted the wax holding his wings together, and Orpheus was on the cusp of rescuing his wife from the underworld when he broke his promise to Hades by looking back and then lost her forever. In my opinion, the hero who bears the strongest resemblance to Kratos would be Heracles. Both men were manipulated by the gods into killing their families in a blind rage, and what makes them unique compared to other tragic figures is that their stories don't just end after the mistake is made. In fact, both men went on a journey of atonement that lasted over a decade and ultimately would be far more famous for what they accomplished on this journey instead of the cruel act that put them on that path. The biggest difference between them is why they did it. In Heracles' case, he was simply living too happy of a life for Hera's comfort, so she cursed him with insanity and he mistook his family for monsters that had to be slayed. But Kratos was after power and the thrill of victory.
"Ares! Destroy my enemies, and my life is yours."
and his patron god Ares didn't want his family to hold him back from achieving greatness, so he ordered Kratos to attack the village that his wife and daughter were living in, going so far as to trick him into killing them himself.
With your wife and child dead, nothing will hold you back.
After this, their ashes would be forever embedded into his skin, lightening his complexion and earning him the epithet, the Ghost of Sparta. So now you know the messed up origins of Kratos, one of the greatest video game characters of all time. If you enjoyed this episode and learned yourself something, make sure to sacrifice those 5-star and follow buttons to the gods and share your thoughts with me on the Messed Up Origins socials, which you can find links to in the description. Did you know anything about Kratos and myth, or was this all new to you? And should I cover the origins of the God of War games? I'll see you all again next week with some more messed up Greek myths. Until then, my name is John Solo, and remember, John shot first.